You're listening to a Bridgeway Church Sunday podcast. For additional resources and more information, log on to bridgewaychurch.com and click on the resources link.
My name is Andy. I get to work with junior high and high school students here. Love it here. Love Bridgeway. Been teaching through the book of Acts. Acts is a narrative of the church after Jesus ascends into heaven, sends his Holy Spirit, and now it's the church world that we live in. Acts is continuing today. So we're going to do a quick rewind. And what I'm going to do today is not read the full passage. We're going to just take it a bit at a time. So before we start, if you guys would pray with me that just as we read it and we dive in, that God would change our hearts. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are good to us. And God, right now, I come to you inadequate, asking for your Holy Spirit to fill me up. I pray, God, that you would work in this body of people here today, that you would convict hearts, that you would change hearts. But God, we are asking right now, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, for more of your Holy Spirit. So would you come and would you meet with us? Would you fill us up that we might even see healings today, that we might see words of knowledge, Lord, that we might see salvations. So come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me quickly take you through Acts chapters 1, 2, and 3, which is what we've done, but we preach or teach about every, I'd say about every 4 months. So, you know, Acts chapter 1 started a year ago or so. So Acts 1, Jesus, before he ascends into heaven, he tells them that the Holy Spirit is coming. He says, you'll receive power when my Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So God's redemptive plan for mankind is happening. We're in process. Here's the cool thing. Chapter 2, God says the Holy Spirit's coming in chapter 1. Chapter 2 confirms that Holy Spirit comes in power on the day of Pentecost. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So the Holy Spirit's here, and not only are there going to be gifts of the Spirit, but at that time, men, thousands of them, are saved. So the Holy Spirit has come to give us the gifts of the Spirit to encourage our hearts and to save mankind. And we already see salvation happening. So now chapter 3, we see the crippled man who has been crippled for 40 years. And Peter and John, basically in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, say, rise up and walk. And the crippled man who could not do that was able to walk because the Holy Spirit chose to heal him at that moment. So where we're at now is chapter 4, and you have to know 1, 2, and 3 or 4 wouldn't make a lot of sense. So we're coming off of chapter 3, and they're still answering the question of this man who was crippled and was healed. So if you go to Acts chapter 4, verse 1, let's start there. And like I said, we're going to take little chunks at a time, and we're going to focus in. So it should be fun and decently exciting. Verse 1, and as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So the question is, why were Peter and John speaking to the people? It says they were speaking to the people. Why were they speaking to the people? It's very simple, because the Holy Spirit had healed a crippled man, and when a crippled man is healed, people gather. And they want to know, what's going on? So a crippled man healed. People gather, so now there's an audience. So that's what they're teaching. They're teaching about and speaking about the fact that this crippled man was crippled, and now he can walk. So as we move through, we're going to see this is why, but what were they teaching? Because it says they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So what was Peter telling them? If you go back to Acts 3, Peter was telling them the gospel. He was presenting the gospel, and he's going to do it throughout. In every sermon that Peter preaches, you will see the gospel. You will see this. I wrote these down from Acts 3. They witnessed Jesus. He was holy and righteous, which means Jesus was perfect. He was killed by men. He was raised by God. And all of this was foretold by the prophets. This is what he's preaching in Acts 3. He said, if you would repent and turn to God by trusting in Jesus, you would be forgiven of your sin. Your sin would literally completely be blotted out. It would be refreshing, and Jesus would one day come back to restore all things. So Peter, because of the Holy Spirit, is proclaiming the gospel. If you don't know the gospel, that is the central story of God and his plan to redeem us as human beings. So if you look back and say, okay, we understand what they're teaching. Peter was teaching the gospel. He was proclaiming signs and wonders. He was proclaiming that the gospel is here, that the Holy Spirit is now. They were greatly annoyed, it says, at them, which you're going to see. This is getting ready to turn into persecution. So why were the Sadducees greatly annoyed? Simply because they were starting to see a challenge to their authority. They thought they were the spiritual authority. When Jesus came to pass and came in to the picture, all of a sudden they felt threatened. So now they think, well, Jesus is gone, but he's back. But now these guys are his followers, and they're proclaiming the resurrection from the dead. They're proclaiming Jesus. And so what do they want to do? Immediately, because they are threatened, they want them eliminated. Okay? And you'll see this as the book goes on, but it always reminded me whenever I think of there's a struggle for power. We think we're powerful. We start seeing a threat of power, so we're going to eliminate him. And I, for whatever reason, I think of Jack Bauer. And I think in 24, whenever they started thinking, you know, all the bad people started thinking, hey, this Jack Bauer guy is starting to threaten our plans. What do they want to do to him? Eliminate him, right? They never could. That was the great thing about 24. They could never eliminate the guy. But here, they thought, we want to eliminate these people who are proclaiming this heresy, they're proclaiming this thing, and they're actually starting to gather followers. So we want to squash any kind of growth that's going to happen from this thing. So verse 3 says this, they arrested them, put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. So they said, okay, this is how we're going to control this. We're going to put them in jail, and eventually they're going to talk to them, okay? So now I need you to step back for a second and think, what were Peter and John thinking as they're getting arrested? Put yourself in their shoes. What were they thinking? Is it possible they were thinking this? Well, Jesus healed people, and he got killed. Jesus spoke truth passionately in love, but he was crucified. Did they start having flashbacks of the trial thinking, this is feeling eerily similar? Jesus was arrested and then ultimately crucified. We're followers of Jesus. What's happening here? Are we on this path? Did they start to remember the words of Jesus about suffering, that you would suffer for his name's sake? Because the Holy Spirit is there to remind them of what Jesus said. So does that come into their mind? What kind of suffering or persecution is coming their way? Was it in their future? I mean, is it now? I'm in jail right now. Am I going to get killed tomorrow? Like what? I'm trying to put myself there and think, what would I be thinking? And then throw in this. They're thinking, would they stand strong? And then throw in Peter, who in his mind had failed miserably the time before. He had failed in a colossal way in his denials of the Lord. So you have to think there has to be some sort of questioning that's going on in their minds. So persecution in the church era has begun, and it begins in verse 3. They arrested them and put them in custody. That's only a small little sliver of what's to come. Everything seems great right now. Chapters 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, it's almost like a heavenly, just an amazing thing going on. The Holy Spirit comes. People are being saved. Miracles are being done. It's like, this is what we've been waiting for. So now we're going to move forward with no one in our way because God is on our side, because God is proclaiming his gospel through us. And then all of a sudden, chapter 4 hits, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, and we've gone from this kind of utopia of like, this is it. This is the kingdom coming. And all of a sudden you see people thrown in jail, getting ready to see people beaten, and then ultimately, and you'll see it all through the book of Acts, but Stephen stoned to death because of his proclamation of the gospel. The enemy now is taking aim to disrupt and destroy anything God is bringing to pass. So God is doing a good thing, and you're going to see this in your life today. When God is doing good things in you, it seems like the enemy tries to step up his game against you. If you've been dealing with even just sin issues, and you have been saved, and God has saved you from your sin, let's say you had no light, you hadn't been walking with the Lord, and God saves you, and so God has done a miracle in your heart, immediately the enemy starts to come against you with temptation. He starts to come against you with condemning words, and a lot of the words come within your own mind, like, man, I'm worthless. It just starts to happen. When God does something good, the enemy, the devil, wants to attack, wants to destroy it, wants to make sure it doesn't last. So persecution is set in, and there's even probably some fear that begins to stir in their hearts. And if you remember last week, with Callie's reminders, other nations all over the world, you saw them on the screens last week. We went from different areas where persecution is very intense right now. It started in Acts chapter 3. We're in it right now, and here's what happens. We start thinking, well, that's on the other side of the world, and a lot of it is. But my question is, do you ever pray for the persecution on the other side of the world? Do you ever ask God to lift them up? And then, do you allow the enemy to bring condemning thoughts into your mind of, well, I'm in America, so I'm spoiled. And again, there is some probably truth in the fact that we can walk around with all freedom to really proclaim the gospel. But do you walk in boldness in your faith? Do people around you know what you believe? Do people around you know why you're passionate about what you're passionate about? Do people around you understand that you are a believer? And I think that's probably a good challenge question just to start off. Do you feel like people around you know who you are and what you stand for? Let that thought just sit there for a second. If I were to ask people around you, what's different about them? Is there anything? Have you ever heard them proclaim the gospel? Have you ever heard them really be different in how they live? Persecution is happening all over the world. It's intense, and it's just like it started here in Acts 3. So you have to start thinking, as things start to go downhill, you would think, Luke helps us out here. He doesn't leave us here to dwell for very long. So go to verse 4. It says, many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. So think about this. Even in the midst of small persecution, this is only the beginning, Luke reminds us that there is purpose in persecution. That there is purpose. Upwards of 5,000 men, think about this, have been saved from their own sin, from their own death and hell, and have freely been given righteousness, life, and heaven. Like, do you understand that because of this crippled man being healed, there is an audience? And these men are proclaiming the truth, and they get thrown in jail. But even though they're thrown in jail, there are still thousands of people responding to the gospel. So even though they are temporarily restrained and suffering a small amount of persecution, which will grow, we see God's plan working. And we'll see as we move through the passage, and you ask the question, why does God allow suffering or persecution? And as we move through, you'll see some of those answers, but some of it are unanswerable questions. Because we're not God. We can't sit back in God's perspective and in his knowledge and know how he's orchestrating things. We can't understand why are they in jail. Well, we don't know, but we do know that the gospel is being proclaimed. Later on, when people get put in jail in the book of Acts, the gospel is proclaimed to the jailer, so there is a purpose that they were thrown in jail, and then what? Conversion happened to the jailer. Why? Because they were thrown in jail. It was a orchestrated thing that we can't sit back and see. We don't understand. So let's keep reading, because we know that God has purpose. Go on to verse 5. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, stopped there. We're not going to look at his responses. Not yet. Because the goal there and the purpose here is he is filled with what? You're going to have to help me a little bit. Filled with Holy Spirit. So, this is not a trick question. Who is the main character in the book of Acts? Is it Peter? Paul? Stephen? Holy Spirit, right? So if the Holy Spirit is he's everything. He is the book of Acts. He's the main character. Whenever you read anything, you want to find out who is this really about. This book, Acts 1 through all the way to 28, is about what? The Holy Spirit. And it's where we're going to live. So it says this. If you think about, if it's about the Holy Spirit, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean? Sam showed us in the Word last week that we are all baptized in the Spirit at conversion. What's conversion? When we were saved, when we trusted Christ with our lives, when we repented and received salvation. I can stop there because of a church our size, I wonder if there are people here that have never received the gospel. You've never realized that you were separate from God because of your sin. That Jesus came and died and literally took your sin upon himself, gave you his perfect righteousness, put it on you, took your place so that you could have life, so that you could honor him. So if you haven't done that, if there hasn't been a time when you've trusted Christ, what if today is the day when the Holy Spirit's calling out to you to trust him? Like, what if that's today? When Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, and we see that we know that the Holy Spirit comes on us in salvation at one time, but then it says this, but we can be filled at various times for various reasons. It's actually so important to be filled in the Spirit that Paul in Ephesians 5:18 commands us to be filled with the Spirit. So stop there for a second. If you're a believer in this room, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. So here's my next question. Do you ever ask for him to fill you? Because sometimes he fills for specific reasons, for specific purposes, at a specific time, in a specific location. But when you wake up, do you request, Holy Spirit, today, so that I would walk in your will, so that I would honor you, would you fill me, so that I can hear your voice? Is that something that happens in your life? Or is that something that you never really think about? When's the last time you asked for the Holy Spirit to fill you? And then this is a kind of a dagger in my own heart. Are you too busy with everything else in your life to ask and receive from the Holy Spirit? Is life so busy and so hectic that you can't even stop? Because if life is too busy to ask for the Holy Spirit, it's too busy. So many of us live on our own strength. We live on our own power. And as we watch Peter walk through this, you're going to see fruit of the Holy Spirit begin to exude out of him. And it's because he has the Holy Spirit and is walking with the Holy Spirit. So what does being filled with the Spirit look like in this text? So now we're going to look at his response. So go back in the middle of verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men. They were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. So if we only take this passage because it's where we're at, what does being filled with the Holy Spirit look like right here? You just look at his response and what do you see that stands out? Boldness. When we begin to be filled with the Holy Spirit, there begins to be a boldness in us that we have, that we would not have because the Holy Spirit places it in us. It stirs our hearts to boldness. So apart from the Holy Spirit, do you realize you have nothing? Like, is that a recognition for real in your heart? Apart from the Holy Spirit, I am and I have nothing. With the Holy Spirit, I have everything I need. With the Holy Spirit, you and I have everything. So boldness is part of it. Clarity of mind towards the truth. Have you realized every time Peter preaches after the Holy Spirit has come, it is like gospel saturated. He's always talking about the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Is that in your language at all throughout any of your days? And you're like, whoa, don't, like, it worked. I'm doing other things. I can't talk about the death and resurrection of Jesus. Okay. But is it consuming your thoughts? And then does it begin to come out of you because it is consuming your thoughts? And again, how you manage that is how you manage that. But it's a deal where you have to start walking through that and saying, am I consumed by the gospel? Because Peter was being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to try to debunk some of the rah, 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 you get the Holy Spirit, everything's great in your life. Because we know, all of us know, because if we have the Holy Spirit, we know it doesn't mean everything's great. And so sometimes when I look at Peter, I think, I could never be like Peter. I can't be that bold. But it wasn't Peter that was that bold. It was the Holy Spirit in Peter. So what do you and I need? It also is courage, peace. Signs and wonders come out of him. That we see a man healed. And then the gospel just comes out of him. So here's where we're going to derail for a second. I say to myself, why does the gospel just flow out of Peter like that? Well, Peter was with Jesus for 3.5 years. Okay, case closed. No wonder the gospel flows out of him, right? He got to walk with Jesus for 3.5 years. So I've been dwelling on this passage for a while, and I had a conversation with Laura this week and was asking her the same question that continues to come into my mind, and I don't know if it comes into yours. I'm going to say it probably does at times, but it kind of goes like this. Peter and James and John, the rest of the disciples, actually got to walk and talk with Jesus. Jesus, the author of life, the creator of the universe for 3.5 years. I'm saying, do you ever say, really saying, I say, do you ever say, if I had done that, it would have been so much easier to follow and believe? Well, if I would have walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, I would have totally believed. I would have been bold, courageous, all of that. If I actually had Jesus physically standing next to me right now, I could ask him any question. I could get advice at any time. Would I be more obedient to him? Would I be more bold? Or even more courageous in sharing my faith? Would I fight against my own sin more if Jesus was physically standing next to me? Would I feel more intimate? Would I feel more intimacy with Jesus? So I concluded the answer to that question is yes. I would feel better if Jesus was standing here next to me holding my hand. I'd be more courageous, more bold. I would do everything he said, right? Until I kept reading in the Word and God changed my mind. So let's see why. If you look at Peter, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So if you have your Bible, go to Luke 12, verse 11. It's not going to be on the screen, so you actually have to get your Bible. Just kidding. You don't have to. I'm going to read it for you. Luke 12, 11. Jesus said, so this is back in the Gospels, when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. In the Gospels, Jesus tells Peter, hey, you will be standing before the synagogues and the rulers and the spiritual leaders of the community, and they will be coming against you. Don't worry. Oh, what do you mean, don't worry? Peter had 71 men staring him down saying, why did you do this? Who are you? This is wrong. But he remembers, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is coming, and when he comes, I don't have to be anxious about how I should defend or what I should say, because it will teach me, he will teach me in that very hour what I ought to say. And now we're reading what Jesus proclaimed would happen, and Peter is speaking. Why? Because he's filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is what the Holy Spirit can do in me. It's what he can do in you. And I have to remind you, as I have to remind myself, physically, Jesus was no longer standing next to him. But the Holy Spirit was inside him. This is a huge, profound shift from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people for times and purposes. But now, the Holy Spirit comes upon you when you know and receive the gospel, when you trust Jesus. And I mean, if it doesn't blow you away, that's okay. Some days this does, and some days because of my own flesh, it doesn't. But now, the Holy Spirit resides in his people. Not just for a time and a purpose, but he resides in you. If you know him, he lives inside of you. Jesus also said in John 16:7, this is huge, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So Jesus is saying, I must go so the Holy Spirit can come. And when the Holy Spirit comes, it is advantageous for you. It is an advantage for you. It's better for you that I'm not standing next to you anymore, but that I am in you. I will give you boldness. I will come upon you and give you the ability and the knowledge to proclaim the gospel, to see people saved, to see signs and wonders. But now he's in you. Not only in you, but in John 14, 26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. So he will teach us all things. It is better that he's here. And you can say, well, why is it better, though, for real? Like, Jesus standing next to me would be nice. If I'm at a restaurant, Jesus sitting next to me saying, hey, share your faith. Wouldn't it be easy to be like, oh, well, yeah, why don't you share it? You're better at it, right? When the Holy Spirit indwells you and you're prompted to hear his voice and to share, you know what you can just say to the Holy Spirit in obedience? Okay, I'm going to share because this is up to you, because you're in control. Because yes, they might mock me, or maybe they won't, but I can share because I'm hearing your voice. Do you know all Jesus did when he walked the earth was in the power of the Holy Spirit? This is you'll have to like study it more. I can't go into it all. McClellan's getting it though. Think about this. Jesus was fully God and fully man. But when he walked on the earth as fully man, he put aside the godlike qualities and he said, I am going to walk depending fully on the Holy Spirit. So if you ever think like Jesus was fully human and lived, made his decisions, prayed for people, healed people in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we have. Why is it to our advantage that we have the Holy Spirit? Because now we can truly be intimate with God. Now the veil is torn down and we have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And he teaches us all things. Do you see the awe and wonder of our God in this? Think about this. He forgives us of our sins, which we don't deserve. He cleanses us, washes them away, which we don't deserve. He gives us his righteousness, which we don't deserve. And he doesn't just walk beside us anymore, but he actually is in us, which is awe-inspiring to me. And even though I can't quite wrap my mind around most of it, I know it's true because the word says it. And so now I have the Holy Spirit with me, in me, all the time. Do you see the vast difference between Peter and the Gospels and Peter in the book of Acts? It was a different person. Yes, did he have times of some boldness? Yes. He also had some crazy times of messed upness. Okay? But the difference now is he was in the Gospels just walking. And now he's over here filled up with the Holy Spirit, and you see it in how he talks. The gospel just comes out of him. You know, when he's walking up to the crippled man, he hears the Holy Spirit say, this man has faith to be healed. Let's seriously? Rise and walk? He did? He got up? I get blown away just thinking like, that is an intimate walk with the Holy Spirit. So have I set the bar high? Are we all supposed to be like Peter? Does this sound like a little too much rah-rah? Like, yay, get the Holy Spirit and you're great. So if you're saying I'm filled with the Holy Spirit like Peter, I'll always be bold, always be happy, always do good, always say the right thing. No. Because you're a human being. I think I did this last service. Raise your hand if you're a sinner. Okay, I got everyone. So we all struggle. Okay, we all struggle. But are you asking God to fill you up? Are you asking the Holy Spirit to give you passion? I know it can sound like, a lot of hype because we look at Peter and we're like, I can't do that. But Peter, why do we forget the Peter of the gospel? But then we go to the Peter of Acts and we're like, I could never be like that, but I feel more like this guy. But they're the same guy, but one has the Holy Spirit. So ask for more of the Holy Spirit and see what the Holy Spirit wants to do in you. See what he wants to do out of you. See how he wants to change lives around you. How? Practice listening to the Holy Spirit. Get really quiet. Practice listening to the Holy Spirit, and then in house church, when it's a smaller group of people, practice saying, I really feel like the Lord put this on my heart for you. You're not always going to be right. Read scripture and ask the Lord for words for other people. Keep asking for more of the Holy Spirit. We learn to hear the voice of God by practicing. And really, we learn to hear the voice of God by listening, and by listening, and by listening, and by listening. A lot of times our prayer life, and I've said this probably every time I've ever preached up here, but because our prayer lives are a lot of talking and very little listening, but when you begin to listen to the Holy Spirit, you'll be amazed at how he begins to direct little areas of your life that you never thought. As you're sitting there working out with someone, and you hear the voice of God say, hey, you know you can share the gospel with that person. Or I'm preparing their heart. Like, whoa, wait. So as we begin to hear and we begin to take bold steps, we can see God do the miraculous. Think about what Sam is teaching us. He is teaching about the gifts from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what stirs us, brings us gifts, and Sam has been preaching about it, and all we have to do is be available to receive what God wants to do in us. So here are some examples. Last week for me was one of those. This is funny because Shane and I were talking about this after the last service. We have students in our ministry here, and you guys can be like, yeah, this is amazing. We have students in our ministry that will be in a small group, and you've got a ninth grade boy or an 11th grade girl, and you ask them to close their eyes for a second and listen to the Lord, and I am blown away when they open their eyes and they have words for each other. I'm like, what is this? The Holy Spirit is working in our students, and it challenges me so much because I'm like, they really have an intimate walk with the Holy Spirit where they begin to share words with each other. And so it's easy for me to stand up here and look at the word and say, this is where we need to be, or this is where we're headed. Or look at me and say, so does he really hear the Holy Spirit that well? No. I'm in learning mode, and I'm listening mode and practicing mode, and I think I'm going to be in that mode my whole life. But last week, I woke up at 3 in the morning on Sunday, and my left knee hurt. And I had worked out on a Thursday, so the left knee shouldn't have hurt by Sunday morning, okay? And it wasn't hurting at all. But it was hurting that morning. And so I got up, I was getting ready for church last week, and I thought, this, again, came into my mind, you know, Bob Armstrong, sometimes God speaks to him by giving him a elbow pain. I'm like, well, how does that work? Gives him an elbow pain because that means there's a possibility that someone here has got right elbow pain. And I've seen him do that, and I'm thinking, so I was like, I'm just going to be obedient because I feel like the Holy Spirit is leading me to talk to Sam. So I came in here and, you know, sheepishly walked up to Sam and was like, okay, my left knee has been hurting since 3 o'clock this morning. And it won't stop hurting, and there's no reason for it to be hurting. And I really feel like the Lord is asking me to obediently say, if there's someone with left knee issues, I'll pray with you, and we'll see. And then Julie came up and said right ear issues. And just to show some confirmation, you've got two guys up here last week leading worship. Each of Julie and I give a word that we are just trusting that it's being obedient to the Lord. And both guys leading worship have the exact ailment that was talked about. And they're like, what do? We want prayer, but we're leading worship. So how do we do this? But I mean, just that in itself, as they stare at each other, like, we want prayer. And then over here, there was at least 8 to 10 people that either had a left knee issue or a right ear issue. And so here's what I would love to stand up here and say. And they were all miraculously healed. All I know is this, I felt like I was being obedient. And even the people who walked up for prayer were being obedient. And so, because they heard, the Holy Spirit is drawing me to be prayed for. I heard the Holy Spirit is asking me to pray. And then if you want to take it another step further, there were probably other people here, and you might even be here today, where you feel like today I'm supposed to pray for people that need healing. But you never know how, or how does that work, or no, maybe that was just a passing thought. Sometimes we have to start trusting as we spend time with Jesus, as we spend time in his word, that he is actually talking to us. So I tell this story in the first service, and I was excited. And then when I'm done, I'm praying for Brad on the stage at probably 1:30 last week, and we're done praying. I stand up, and does my knee hurt anymore? No. Why? I don't know. It stopped hurting. I had prayed for people. Sunday night comes. We go into youth group. I'm like, okay, a little twinge in my knee. And right after that happens in the middle of worship, Evan Helker walks up and says, I didn't go up this morning, but I was supposed to go up with my left knee. And I was like, what is going on? Like, this is awesome. So we prayed. And I'm hoping that it's encouraging. So after I tell that story, a girl comes up after the service and said, it happened to me last week. I was like real jittery at night and didn't know what was wrong. And I don't usually get jittery, but I was jittery. But actually, I found out that while I was jittery, my friend called and I'd heard that she was going through a deliverance right then. So there was like spiritual stuff going on. So they stopped, her and her husband prayed, and immediately the jitters went away after they had prayed that deliverance would be fully empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so, I mean, that happened. And then, someone else in this room came and told me a story about them being told at a restaurant they're supposed to go give a word to this group of people they didn't know. And that he was freaked out and was nervous, but eventually he went and gave the word, and it ended up being very encouraging, and he was encouraged by the obedience, and so was someone else in that group. Listening to the Holy Spirit. Verse 13 says this, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. They were astonished. People were astonished at what God was doing through men who were just being available to be used by the Holy Spirit. Peter was no different than you and I. But do you believe that the Holy Spirit living inside of you is what's real? Boldness, clarity, peace, signs and wonders, the gospel just comes out. So here's where we want to end today. As you look at that passage and you see the boldness of Peter, who was filled by the Holy Spirit in that moment, boldness to proclaim, boldness to talk about the healing, where are we at today? There's going to be, I'm thinking there's going to be three groups of people in the room. The first one is you, that you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You never have. You've never entered in. You've never started. You've never heard the gospel and then responded by receiving and trusting. If that is you, man, we encourage you to get prayer, to talk to someone, to really, you know, you don't have to talk to someone. You can receive the gospel, confess your sins, trust him, and then begin your life with him. And then, because you realize if you don't know Jesus, you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. But when you become a Christian, when you become a believer, when you trust Jesus, when he has forgiven your sin and gives you righteousness, the Holy Spirit moves in forever. And then you begin to hear his voice when he's talking. Now, I say that, and again, I know people are like, what do you mean hear his voice? You keep listening, and you keep reading his word, and you keep pressing into who he is. Second group of people is this. You have never walked in the gifts of the Spirit for whatever reason. You've shied away from them. You've been afraid of them, or you've just not believed in them. Maybe today is your opportunity to ask for a filling of the Holy Spirit. We're going to have ministry team up here. And the band, you guys can come on up here right now. Ministry team will be up here. Maybe if you're in the second group, you're like, I see it. I want more. I want more of the Holy Spirit. I want to know what my giftings are. And maybe this is your day to come and have someone lay hands on you and just pray for a filling of the Holy Spirit. Pray that he would open up your heart to what's going on out there in the world, that he would open your mind up to discerning thoughts and to prophetic words and to how cool would it be if someone in here today, God has given you the gift of faith and healing together, okay, specific for today, for this room, because someone else in here needs healing prayer and God wants to use you to pray for them? I don't know. But if you've never been active in these and you're like, I just want to start, then please come and get prayer. And the third group is this. Some of you have been in seasons of giftings, but you know that God is calling you to step up into more of a lifestyle of boldness, a lifestyle of gifting, like a lifestyle knowing that you are stepping in, and when you're at a restaurant, when you're at work, when you're working out with friends or people or you don't know, you want boldness that you feel like you don't have. You feel like you, even though you walk in the gifts and even though you feel confident at times, a lot of it, you feel more like Peter in the Gospels rather than Peter in the book of Acts because you just want more. And so there's those opportunities. And then in that group, there's going to be times when you proclaim a word to someone and you might look foolish. I guarantee you, 71 men that were standing around Peter, unless their hearts were opened up by the Lord, thought that Peter was probably an idiot. Because he was proclaiming this gospel and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Sometimes it's going to be foolishness to the world, but it's obedience to us. So will you just be obedient to start hearing his voice and start responding? So if you would bow your heads and close your eyes, and we're gonna wrap it up. Here's the thought. As you are praying, I want you just to ask the Holy Spirit, do I need a relationship with Jesus? We want to talk to you and pray with you. Do you want more giftings of the Spirit? You've been nervous about that. You just want God to begin to soften your heart. Come and get prayer. Or you're ready. Like you feel the Holy Spirit stirring your heart for the gift of faith, the gift of prophecy. You know it. It's there. And you're just wanting to be bold in how you step out, bold in the community of people around you, bold in how you talk about Jesus. Not rah-rah exciting, but bold in the truth of the gospel. So Holy Spirit, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would come and fill us. We are asking you to fill us right now. We're asking you to fill this room, that you might heal someone today, that you might change someone's heart, that someone might go from death to life today, that someone would start a relationship with you today. But we need your Spirit to come and to move among us right now. So we ask for that. We ask that you would come, and we say that we need you because we are absolutely nothing without you. Come, Holy Spirit, stir us. Stir our hearts in Jesus' name.